Hey, y'all. Welcome back to A Race to State. Maddie K here yet again. Mikey Two Names is at home. I think he's grilling with family, and this might be one of his final childless cookouts. I think they're having a kid soon, so he's not with us. He is sad,
congrats.
Though. Yeah, congratulations, Mikey Two Names. There's going to be a baby Two Names brought to the world.
Oh, I hope they give it two names.
So he did send a bunch of sad face texts because he wanted to be here tonight, but he's not. But we do have the one and only Whiskey Pryors vying for that co-host position, the number one contender, Whiskey Pryors himself. What's up, man?
The fill-in champion.
That's right. That's right. That was your nickname in college, right?
Yeah. Yeah, sloppy something.
Sloppy fill-in champion.
That's right.
So what's going on in your neck of the woods, man? Are you we were just talking a second ago.
I'm trying to keep this positive because we're about to go down a road where I get pissed off.
Well, there ain't much positive, man, because as of, I don't know, like 4 hours ago, our fucking tyrant-ass Republican governor, Greg Abbott, who was missed by a tree limb several years ago, he mandated that everybody in the state of Texas has to wear a mask. So I ain't fucking doing that bullshit.
No.
How about you guys?
my governor is apparently considering it. Look, before we get deep here, what are you drinking? Let's make it easy.
Well, I'm going to hope that you go on a rant soon because I'm on my fourth vodka soda.
Oh, so you're going to walk off and mix one while I bitch?
Yeah, I'm going to need a fifth here pretty soon. It's getting a little low.
Well, I found I've had all of them in the series now. The, was it the Dogfish Head 75 minute IPA?
Oh, so you're a gay boy. You like the IPAs.
I don't like the super heavy IPAs, and this is like right on the line. Yeah. I like Shiner had that Wild Hair.
I don't think I ever had that actually.
I don't know if they make it anymore, but they did when I was living in Houston for whatever 3 years that was. They had it there and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
But this so they do a 60, a 75 now, a 90 and a 120, and it's how long they hop the beer, right? And the longer, the more bitter and the higher the alcohol content. It's kind of, this one's 7.5. The 120, if you go to the Flying Saucer or whatever, they serve it in like a little goblet.
Yeah.
But
because
I think it's like 12 or something like that. It's, it's a huge,
I like
it's
it.
Almost like wine.
Like wine. I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
So also brief aside, while we're trying to keep it positive, I remember when you were still living in Houston, and I remember also that we knew each other before we knew that we lived in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
And not just in the same neighborhood, like three blocks from each other.
I could stumble home from your house.
And I think either one of us did on several occasions.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because why not if you have that opportunity?
That's right. And you know why? Because we were the same person and we selected the same neighborhood.
Yeah, much to the chagrin of the wives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, that's enough positivity for tonight.
Granted, can we get like conspiratorial and everything with it?
We can do whatever you want.
We just go wild.
I might have to text pause and see if we can bring him in, but yeah.
Well, text him because hell, he was the one I was talking to last night.
Oh, okay.
But look, when I say I'm over and done with this bullshit, like I'm drawing the NPC nose and mouth on all of my surgical masks that I wear out. And the people that don't get it, don't get it. But the people that get it, fucking get it.
Get it, yeah.
Right?
Like my tree joke.
Yes. Exactly. In fact, I got my hair cut today, and there was a guy. It was weird because I went to Sport Clips because.
I can tell.
Yeah. It's short. So just short is fine for Sport Clips. And he was very nice guy. Fine to talk to, whatever. But like he was. He goes, oh, you got a little face on your mask. What's that all about? I'm like, I'm like, ah, it's the NPC meme. You haven't seen that online? And like some dude in the on the other another chair started giggling.
He just hit you with the huh.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he goes, well, what does that? Explain it to me why he's like shaving my head. And I'm like, oh, let's not piss this guy off. Let's try to spit it. Like, because he could totally just rip that guard off and just horizontal line across the top of my head.
Yeah.
Like, so I explained it to him. I was just like, no, it's the, you know, you play a video game, like you go into a shop in Zelda and the guy can only respond to a couple of different commands. And
Right.
You know, if you're dumb enough to, like, if I have to wear the mask, I'm going to pretend like I'm dumb enough to have to wear the mask. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't like the mask? No, I don't like the mask. He goes, oh, so are you like in IT or something? I'm like, yes, I am in IT. And I work for tell? I forget what company I told him, but it was just like, I was not sure. And I was in the land of butt fuckers. And I was just trying to make my way through without getting assaulted here. Right. And it was interesting. I was trying to make a point while avoiding the point entirely at the same time.
Yeah.
Because, dude, some people are religiously attached to this mask thing.
Oh, you're telling me, dude. I know. It's frightening. And like, look, I'm not. We've talked about this. I'm not like anti-mask to the point where I'm like, look, I'm just not going to wear a mask at all. Like, if I have to go to a store and the store has a sign, I'm just not. I want to limit my encounters with people that I don't like anyway. So it's just easier for me to wear the mask. Like, no. I had to go help. So I think I mentioned this on the last episode, even our neighbor. Yeah, I did, because you mentioned something about not having Democrats in this neighborhood, but that's a fucking lie because they're all over the fucking place. So. Our neighbor
blew me away. I thought it was rah rah Toby Keith America out there.
Oh no, man, we don't put boots up anybody's asses out here. well, we might in this house. So the neighbor who made the comment on Facebook in the group about everybody should wear their mask, she's elderly, as is her husband, and we try and help them as much as we can. So he is wheelchair bound and he needed help. So we went over and it was like, my wife and I looked at each other and said, well, we got to grab a mask really quick, mm-hmm. Max. So we went over and, you know, so we did our, like, just, it's their house. They want us to wear masks, whatever. Like it was a thing, right? Like I'm obliged to meet you in the middle somewhere if you need me to, but I refuse to be, I refuse to have it mandated.
See, you're nicer than me. Like if I'm invited to someone's house and they have to say, but we wear masks here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, then I'm not coming. And it's specifically because of the mask.
Well,
I'm not coming.
If I really want to go, I'll go and wear the mask. If I really don't want to go, I'll use the mask as an excuse to get out of it. However, like I said, I don't like to be told what to do by the government, especially. So.
Well, especially when like, I don't know if you've noticed that I locked my account today because I'm paranoid. But like,
well, you do that like every 3 days.
I know, but I found this because I'm often on paranoid. But I found this video of everybody's St. Fauci on 60 Minutes discussing why it's stupid for the average general person walking around outside to be wearing a mask.
Right.
Right. And he says it does nothing. It doesn't stop a virus. And it basically just makes the people feel better that are wearing them. And other than that, it's nothing. And he just like straight up poo-pooed it. And it's Fauci himself.
I know.
On national television. And this has happened multiple times. But that science gets ignored now. Now it's whatever the agenda science is.
That's right.
And it's like I think, you know, early on we were listening to Monica and we were talking about it. And we found out like all these different reports, like all the things coming out of China, there's 30 million people missing or whatever it is. They're welding people into apartment buildings. Mm-hmm. People are just dropping dead on the street. We haven't seen one of those happen in the US or any other country other than China. So that tells me either that person got smoked with a rubber bullet or a real bullet.
Yep.
And we just didn't see the splatter from the grainy video, or there was something else going on over there.
I'm sure it was the latter, or they just buried them alive in a mass grave.
Yeah. We haven't seen any of that. That doesn't exist. And look, Eric, I wish we could have got Eric July, man, because that dude has gone off lately. And he's not even like anti. He's more like you. I'm full on anti-mask at this point. I'm like, this is stupid. I'm beyond, like, there is no personal responsibility anymore, because everyone has decided that every life matters.
Mm-hmm.
At least when we consider it in only racist. this context.
That's right.
Nope.
Yes.
Only this context. Every life matters with masks. Only Black Lives Matter politically. And then nobody's life matters in foreign policy. And let's go through a list of lives that do and don't freaking matter. And it's like, so this is what I was talking to Paz about last night. I feel like everyone lives in this online world where the little interaction we do have with our families, like, we're all on our phones all mm-hmm. the time. And we live in this online world where we're either playing video games or we're watching someone else live a fabulous life on Netflix.
I feel personally attacked.
Yeah. Yeah. And we, or like me, I read a lot of novels that do not increase any intelligence whatsoever. Obviously, if you're listening to this, I apologize.
If you're reading the right novels, they do increase some intelligence.
It's survival porn, dude. It's that, and it's EMP survival stories where people get murked, and it's whatever, space warfare and shit. It's stupid. but
the same so I'm not person.
I'm not going through Man Economy and State. It's sitting on my counter.
Yeah, exactly.
It's out there, but it hadn't been it would have this nice fresh crack and yep. dust would come out of it
yep.
if you opened it up. I went through Hazlitt's Economics in One Lesson, and I went through Anatomy of the State and all that stuff. But okay, so people live in this online world
uh-huh.
where they only interact online. They're constantly interacting online. They live in their own movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you're never the antagonist in your own movie.
Oh, of course not.
Right. So that, I think that explains a lot of this. Like, it can't happen to me. And the virus is the one thing that where, oh shit, it can happen to me. Right. Even though let's not even look at like the total morbidity rate between 2018 and 2020 is exactly on average. We're not mm-hmm. losing more people this year than we have any other year right. on average.
We're just right? losing them to a different disease.
Perhaps.
Maybe.
This thing was definitely here when we were packed into 100,000 K stadiums
mm-hmm.
and screaming hammered at football games in November.
That's right. That's right.
It was here. So, and people got sick. They go to the doctor and the doctor's like, I don't know. It's probably the flu. You want to test me? No, just go home, drink a bunch of water.
That's right. Yeah.
And then they'd come in and the doctor would say, yeah, they would say, oh, we got a particularly nasty strain of flu this year. Must not have been, the vaccine must not have worked this time.
Which is every year.
Right. And so I think because of the online interactions, people like the protests, like everyone's going to go out there. They're going to assault the bad guy. The bad guy is only going to yell back. They're going to beat the crap out of the bad guy, walk away with the girl into the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And for a while now, that's been true. Like, right, for a couple of weeks, and then we're starting to see where that's not true. People are like, fuck this, I'm not doing this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous.
On all sides, people are starting to get that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, people think they can physically attack others in the streets and not face brutal, fatal retaliation.
That's right.
Like, and it's because we've lived in a world where we didn't let little boys fight each other.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Only those on the lower end of the socioeconomic scale, no matter what color you are, have ever been in a fight.
That's right.
Right.
And how to handle themselves in such situations.
Right. Right.
When they can hop in, when they can hop out, how things operate, the rules mm-hmm. of the game, if you will, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All the entitled. I mean, if you just look at like like just take Antifa, right? Because they were never in these types of altercations when they were in elementary and middle school and high school and college or grad school or for their PhD, their postdoc. They think they can, like, you know, throw hands on people, and it's just like, well, in my own mind, I've lived this movie, so I'm the hero. I throw hands. You go down with one punch. It's like, oh, well, that guy's a fucking Bubba, and he, like, wrenches on cars on the weekend and drinks a lot of Budweiser. He don't even drink Bud Light because that shit's fucking water. You know what I mean?
Bud Heavies, like, bro.
Got a case of Bud Heavies in me. I'm going to kick your ass, boy. So it's a... I don't even know where I was going with that because I've had too many vodka sodas, but that's...
No, I think it's just people don't understand that by opening their mouth in the wrong situation, someone that looks like our giant South Texas buddy might close it for them.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Never, that hasn't even crossed their mind that that's an option, right? So, like,
Big Love, whatever your handle is these days, shout out.
Big Love Texas... To Holmes. 69 or something.
My buddy Holmes.
I think people assume they're going to live forever.
That's right.
Everyone else dies. Right? That it can't happen to me. Itis is strong because we spend so much time entertaining others' lives through social media. Whether it's traditional or social media or gaming, doesn't matter. The sense of mortality is dulled and it's dangerous because we're really, I mean, if you read the survival porn novels like I do, we're two steps away at the most from the state of nature.
That's right.
Right. We're that close, right? That we don't know how to deal with at all.
We're a squirrel on a twig. Yeah. A weak twig. You've seen this. You grew up near the woods. Like, you know. We're too far to jump to the next tree, and we've gone way too far out there to get that last nut. You know what I mean?
And that tail's twitching.
That's right.
He's thinking about it.
That's right.
And then, I think the fear comes from the fact that our usually inept rulers have recognized that we all see ourselves in this. We can never die movie, right? And we don't recognize that we're that close to the edge of nature. But when something like this comes along and shows us that we are, all it takes is, excuse me, that's beer. All it takes is just a little bit.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. All it takes is just a little bit of nudge and fear mongering to get everyone to freak out. Oh, wait, my movie just turned into a freaking nightmare. Right now, that's not true, but the idea that it could, we'll shut down the world for it.
That's right.
Are you freaking kidding me? And you know, I'm normally not a Tucker Carlson person. I loved it when Dave Smith was doing the Contra Carlson episodes because Tucker by himself doing a monologue, the guy is really convincing. And if you take it at face value and you don't know any different, it can be really convincing. And a lot of his stuff is pretty good. But his point, just a clip going around Twitter that I saw was fantastic. The idea that anything happening in 2020 of all years, an election year where Donald Trump is the sitting president, after 4 years of all the rest of this crap going on, the idea that any of this is apolitical and it's just a thing that's happening out in the world and doesn't have anything to do with politics, whether it be the mask wearing or football or just literally any topic whatsoever, it's polled, it's measured, it's discussed. You can only talk about this in one direction, one way or another. Like, every single thing is politicized because, as we found out, and look, I have a conservative friend of mine that kind of like, no, we were drinking, but he stopped me like right in my tracks because I was doing this whole, hey, why don't we just like not obey any of these damn laws? Why don't we just ignore it? Let's just ignore the state and go about our lives as if it doesn't exist. And look, I know a lot of people that are listening are probably going, yeah, that's what we should be doing. We should just ignore it. However, you know, I agree with that. But let's say you're a restaurant. You say, I'm going to ignore this thing, right? One Karen calls whatever board their inspector comes down and says, hey, you're not making people social distance or wear a mask, and you're not at 50% capacity. I'm pulling your liquor license. I'm pulling your business license.
That's right.
I'm pulling your food license, right? And your vendors, if they continue doing business with you, I'm pulling theirs. Now, your little restaurant, whatever your giant liquor, whatever your liquor provider and your beer provider, those guys aren't going down. They're not going to turn off their money machine for you.
Right.
Right. And it's the exact same principle of why it'll never work for everyone. Just quit paying their taxes, because I'm first in line. Let's do that. Well, yeah. Okay. I didn't pay my taxes. Hey, you fuckers didn't pay you did pay your taxes, you bunch of fucking assholes. That's right. I stuck my neck out and my head's getting locked off.
Yeah, the problem is, like, it works, right? If everybody revolts, it works. But the problem is everybody has to do it. So,
well, or at least a gigantic majority.
Right. So I hate to use this reference because A, I feel like a woman, and B, I really hate this show, but my wife has started watching it again. It's Beverly Hills 90210. Yeah, that too. So she's been plowing through Beverly Hills 90210 episodes. And last night at like 1 a.m. was Brenda got drunk at a prom episode, so she's not going to graduate. So the whole thing was that, of course, whichever kid it was, I fucking have no idea, whichever pretty boy from Beverly Hills was going to go to Berkeley, he decided he needed to stage a protest and get used to being a Berkeley student. So, but they had to rally. They rallied the entire student body effectively. It started with the senior class, but they made a point that it only worked if everybody walked out of finals. Right. So we're going to march down to the school board and demand that Brenda graduate, but we're all going to have to do it together. Cause if we all don't do it together, then they can stop us. That's kind of the same problem, right? If like two restaurants do it, the state's just like, okay, well, fuck you guys. Sorry. We got you, bitch. Like, you know, there's plenty of other people who are willing to, you know, hop to and hop in line with you or with us. So, I mean, I tweeted today, like, hey, are there any bars open that are like defying this order? Cause I would like to go spend some money. Like I'll bring fucking cash. You know what I mean? But the answer is just,
no, because, and that kind of, well, okay. No, probably not. Because the liquor distributors are so big and they have to have such a large distribution network.
Well, especially here.
Especially in Texas. That the amount of people that would have to defy. And really, I think if 60% of the people just said, we're not doing this, and all the business, you know what I mean? And it was the other way around. Because right now, I think it's about, honest to God, I think there's about half the people that just, they don't want to wear a mask, but they'll do it to be polite or whatever. Yeah. I don't wear it defiantly. Like, walks into Costco and she makes people tell her to put it on. Now you're going to have to bleep that, but like, I guess. But, yeah,
I'll remember a timestamp here.
Yeah, so speaking of that, she just walked out of the bathroom. My son's in there bathing. Yeah. You didn't hear her scream at him, huh?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, because she hang on, this is the text I just got.
Peaceful parenting.
Yeah, well,
like the pillars of peaceful parenting, Stephen Molyneux and Louis J. Gomez.
And Louis J. Gomez. way up there on them pillars.
I'm a Louis J. Gomez parent.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, can you imagine his picture, his like stamp of approval on a kid toy?
That's right. This is the Porter. This is fucking Puerto Rican rattlesnake approved.
That's right.
I'm sorry. I feel like we turned this into a Bob and Tom episode.
Stephon Molyneux, IQ increasing, baby Einstein movies.
Oh man.
Why are all the Stephon Molyneux kid movies in Poland? I don't know. So no, she said she walked out of our room telling our son he needs to scrub his butthole really good. I hope it didn't get picked up on the mic.
Oh, like, I sincerely hope that got picked up because I'm going to leave it in. Mommy, my butthole itches. You better scrub it.
Scrub your butthole. Peacefully.
All right.
You want to go mix you one?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll take a break.
All right.
Do you need a new one?
I'm going to go get a glass of wine.
All right. Thank you to Whiskey Pryors for our special musical interlude there.
All right. So speaking of whiskey, while we're not actively bitching, so I haven't popped it yet. So I'm drinking a little red wine because the bottle's open and it's going to turn into vomit sauce if I don't finish it. You ever had old red wine that went bad?
Yep. I powered through it too.
Oh man.
Especially shit that I've paid too much for. That turned vinaigrette. Mm.
Well, it didn't get terrible. It tasted fine. Maybe it's because it was, I don't know what else, it was way back in the day, but it was might have been just cheap. But
yeah,
it tasted
some
fine.
Gallo.
And we both went into the shower and we both
31 minutes.
Thank you. We both went into the shower and we both
together. Hey yo. No,
separate showers, separate. Just trying to hurry up and go to the bar or whatever. And that half a bottle of wine that we finished together just came up. Like I didn't feel bad. Yeah. It was just this, like, all of a sudden I was like, oh, just purple all over the shower. And then I was like, whoa, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I was perfectly fine.
It's there, like, you go. Puke and rally.
Yeah. So anyway, I got a bottle. I've never had Michter's before. You ever had
I've never had that either. Interesting. Michter's, where's that from?
Small batch Kentucky bourbon.
Okay.
91.4 proof.
Okay.
This is a small batch. This was like the cheap bottle they had there. They had a single barrel and a 6-year single barrel. I'm gonna look up the mash bill. I'm gonna do like a layman's review on it in a little bit on Twitter just because.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's see. Michter's small batch. Mash bill.
Boy, you're adding to my editing work tonight. I'll have you know.
Well, do you know what the mash bill is, don't you?
Yeah, of course. Of course I know what the mash bill is. I've got a fucking still in my garage. I know what a mash bill is.
Do you really?
Of course.
Oh. You make your own hand sanitizer to get your mash done?
I make essential oils.
You do?
Yeah. 10 gallons at a time.
Nice.
I've actually never run it, but I do have one.
So this one's 79 corn, 11 rye, 10 malted barley.
Wait, hit me again?
79% corn, 11% rye, 10% malted barley.
Okay.
That's the guess of whatever this.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, I mean, that's pretty standard for a small batch bourbon these days.
What distillery are they using? Is it their own or do they have somebody else?
I think it's their own. Distilled in small batches according to the Michter's pre-Revolutionary War quality standards dating back to 1753.
They use old Forester warehouses.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Michter's Distillery, Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville.
What else is in Louisville, though?
Well, everything's just outside of Louisville.
Well, I have you know that thebourbonculture.com gave it a 5.7.
Out of?
10.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, well, you know, just.
Well, you know, you hit, you miss, whatever.
Yeah. Hey, it'll drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll get you drunk.
It's not the bottle at the bottom that Kenny McCormick's dad picks
That's
up.
Right.
It just says
bourbon.
Whiskey.
Yeah. That's like the old what's his name? Ron White bit, which I will now butcher because he drinks the scotch out of the decanter or out of the little nice fancy crystal bottle right on stage, and they say, "Hey Ron, what kind of scotch do you drink?" It's like, "I drink the kind of scotch they don't pay me enough to put their bottle on stage."
That's right.
they can't afford to pay me enough to put their bottle on stage. Oh man. Okay, so what else we got after we have severely Bob and Tommed the fuck out of this shit? I feel like a local radio host right now. We should do a game show. You want to do a lightning round? Lightning.
Now, if we're going to Bob and Tom,
what are your five favorite pies?
Pie. I love pie.
Hair. Moon.
Hey, Johnny, you like pie, right? No, that's the Bob and Tom. We're just going to laugh.
Well, I was doing the local radio host lightning round.
Because it's the morning. Yeah, the lightning round. So, all right. So I will say, and even you just recognize this, old Jesse Kelly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We can talk. Speaking of local radio hosts in that sphere.
He seems to be coming around a little bit.
Yeah, he's not, though.
No, he's not.
Look, Jesse Kelly is like Tucker Carlson, right? He is liberty-leaning. I wouldn't even venture to say libertarian. He would probably fancy himself as a libertarian. And I don't know Jesse. I've met him once. I've shook his hand. I'm sure you know him better than I do, which still probably isn't well.
Never met him.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So, just from what I have seen and heard of him, I suspect he would fancy himself a libertarian without fully embracing what libertarianism is. So
which is
he would
most
be,
of them, to be
yeah,
quite honest.
That's true. So, well, there are no true libertarians.
Well, you are. You're one of the few. You've got a podcast.
Oh, that's very true. I did check the appropriate boxes for libertarianism. Yeah. I'm a libertarian. Do you have a podcast? No. Oh, man. I'm not sure if you qualify. So anyway, he I believe would be a liberty-leaning conservative, right? Sort of like a Producer Kenny conservatarian, right?
Yeah, except he's honest about it and says that he's conservative.
Right.
And look,
as
much as I appreciated what Kenny's instincts are libertarian too.
Right.
I think, but his, for whatever reason, he ignores that knee jerk and goes straight back to boomer con.
Hard boomer con.
And I'm the other way around, right? My knee jerk is hard boomer con. Like that's the first thing.
Yeah.
Now, and that's just because that's the way I was brought up. Like that. I was a Rush baby. I think you were too.
Yeah. No,
right?
I was too. Not a red diaper dipper baby. I'll tell you that much.
Oh Jesus. I hadn't heard that term forever.
Dittos.
Wow. I hadn't heard that term forever.
Yep.
But yeah,
but see, my knee jerk these days though, and really for a long time, really was, I don't even know if I want to say left, but it was more compassion, you know, trying to like empathize with the other side of the argument. Mm-hmm. Even outwardly when I would lean right, the knee jerk was always internally, at least like let's pump the brakes and consider, you know, there's always two sides to every argument. Let's think about this. I don't want to say I'm a pragmatist, but like just wanted to think about what was going on, you know? And I think their instincts are correct, but they both knee-jerk extremely hard right, hard boomer con, up to the point where it's funny because I don't think any of the libertarian accounts and anarchist accounts that we both follow, or very few of them anyway, like actually follow Jesse Kelly.
Probably not, but I'm
sure that there are some people in the sphere that retweet him into other people's timelines. So I always see him show up in my timeline. I don't follow him.
I follow him. I think he's funny.
He is funny.
And I like, look, I still have, and I don't think it'll ever leave me that anytime you want to dunk on a leftist ideal, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
I would be like an anti-leftist coalitionist.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like,
I don't know. I got in an argument with a guy the other day at technically work, I guess. And it wasn't really an argument. He just kind of threw me off. I was like, yeah, a buddy of mine lives in Chicago. And he's my liberal buddy. He lives in lefty land, Chicago. and he just bought himself a boat. And they're staying down on the boat in Indiana now. They took the boat out of Chicago, and they're living on the boat right now because their apartment in Chicago, somebody tried to bust into it with an axe during all the rioting or whatever. He goes, "Rioting? What do you mean?" And I went, like, record skip. Yeah.
I mean, fuck you, say.
I said, like, you know how like all the major cities are on fire and stuff. He was like, "I mean, they're protesters." And I went, "Oh, what are you getting at?"
Yeah.
He goes, "What are you getting at?" And I'm like, "They're definitely lighting cities on fire, right? Like, this is a coordinated effort nationwide, and even in some places globally, people are lighting cities on fire." To make a point. And look, what that point is, some of them seem to know. I don't think others do.
Right.
And then we went down this rabbit hole where he just assumed that since I was from the South, that I don't associate or know any black people.
Hmm.
And it got to the point where I went, "Hang on." I went, where are you from?" He goes, "Well, I'm not from the South." And I'm like, "I don't appreciate what you're ascribing there, but where are you from?" Right? Because I don't like that. Like, don't just assume, dude.
Right.
Like, I came from lower middle class. Like, I'm doing well now. Yeah,
me too.
But like,
some would say upper lower class is where I came from.
Yeah, you're a
step. I mean, honestly, we were below the poverty line growing up. So
we were doing a little better than that. You know, but I mean, we weren't killing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. My dad's truck was held together with duct tape and coat hangers.
Baling twine. Like,
yeah. You think I'm kidding? But he just assumed that I was that you're from the South. So white person, rich, and hates black people, and black people good. Right? And I was like, so I asked him, and I had seen this one time before because I lived with a guy in college who has since, you know, understood what I was getting at.
Right.
But it's if you grow up in rich white guy world and you only have three or four black guys at your high school, right? And the only real black people you ever run into are in college.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what it's like. You don't know any of these people. Right? I mean, I grew up my cousin married a black guy. I have three black cousins. Mm-hmm. I grew up at a 50-50 white black school. Like, that's my high school I went to. I went to public school in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Like, I just, it's just a part of life. It's not like it's just,
yeah.
I didn't even think.
I grew up in probably a 65-10 black white school.
Yeah. The rest Hispanic, right?
The rest were Hispanic and Asian.
Yeah. So for us, it's like,
I should also say not like Dallas, Fort Worth, like Plano area Asian, like shrimpers from the shrimp boats, like Vietnamese, like,
oh yeah,
super rich, but also gangbanging. Like, oh, it was, you know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of different shit going on at this school. There were many gang fights during lunch. I'll just say that.
I only say that to say that, like, when a guy like him sees a black person, he knows what the media and the narrative have been about that, right?
Sure.
He hasn't known on first name basis 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 black people
in
his whole life.
That's true.
So it's just whatever narrative is told in this.
That's right.
And
he has to go by are stereotypes.
Yeah. And dude, listen, and I don't know if you heard the Thaddeus Russell Hotep Jesus episode.
Yeah. I think I told you to listen to that one.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
It was amazing. I'm going to go back and listen to it again, honestly. It was very good. I enjoyed it a lot.
I don't know what he did, but I wrote off Hotep Jesus a little while back.
I did too.
But recently I've kind of come back around.
My thoughts have changed after that episode, honestly.
Big time.
Because I feel like he is exactly like a lot of my friends from back then that are like, you know, a little more intelligently thinking about things, like just the way the world works and stuff like that. We're getting shut down. Okay. Somebody come in. Okay.
No, it's good. She's sneaking around the room looking for, like, don't do that.
What did she do? Do it. Do it.
Open Bob's.
Open Bob's.
Open Bob's.
Open Bob's. Please turn camera around.
Please turn camera. How quickly can I use Google Translate to tell me show tits?
Yeah. So.
Hook up Jesus.
And then, you know, honestly, like Thaddeus Russell, when it comes to like his, I don't even know how to say it without being offensive, but like his like fetish about like black culture or like just his affinity for that. Like there's, he has this, I think maybe because he didn't experience that when he was young. And there's like this, there's a lot of, especially us being Southerners, right? That maybe he didn't experience, but we did. And we know where a lot of our Southern culture came from. And it was the black community, be it rock and roll or jazz or blues or food or like just the way you treat people. Like that's a lot of that was driven by black culture and Cajun culture and stuff like that. It's just inherent in these communities. So I do feel like I'm kind of the same with him. Like, cause I grew up around that. Like I was very deep into it. Like there were not a lot of white friends when I was in school. And so to me, it's like, it's not even second nature. It's first nature, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's a,
Open
what
Bob's.
Are you looking? What are you looking for? Open Bob's.
Chauvagine.
Chauvagine. Oh, here, other Thank stuffed you. Animal. There you go.
Damn it. Did your boy wash his butthole?
Did he wash his butthole?
Yes.
Did you check?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Start checking for pinworms.
These are things that you do as a mom. Smell, breath, and check butthole.
Don't get hammered and get those reversed.
I know.
Do not put me live on the podcast.
Oh, you're on the podcast. I'm sorry.
Hello.
No, I don't think Thaddeus Russell's thing is a fetish necessarily. I think he started from the position that I was talking about, where he was not really introduced to him and was intrigued, and being probably a smarter than average bear. He's a historian, right?
Right.
Or he was a history professor at least. And I think the most, I mean, look, if you're not going to do some weird scientific academic anti-humanities history account of whatever it takes to get your PhD these days, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's why Dan Carlin's so popular, right? Even not being a historian, because history is supposed to be a humanities, right? And it's supposed to let you at least empathize what it may have been like to live back then,
right?
And for him, I mean, if you're going to do something in the beginning in, what is it, the 1619 project?
Yes, exactly.
If you're going to do something beginning at the beginning of America, like to follow the history of black culture, is probably one of the most interesting stories to follow.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't begrudge him that at all. And then I listened to his Mencius Moebug one, which was fantastic too. Moebug's have got some interesting ideas, but the Hotep Jesus one, you listen to Hotep Jesus and he goes, this is everything that Malcolm X warned us about right before they killed him.
Absolutely. That's probably why he was killed.
he's like, and both of them recognize, he goes, wait, did you notice that it's only black women who are, I didn't realize this until they said it like four times in the episode, the highest educated by number of degrees in the country per capita group, like black women, right? I had no idea.
I didn't know that either, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's highly educated black women. Well, highly processed black women, because
yes,
anyone that goes through that level of education has been processed,
right?
And if you make it out of there and you're still not a leftist, holy shit! Like, you were able to resist till the end.
That's right.
And you know how to go along to get along. And then, and it's the gay black dudes. And of course, and then there are some people that just are on it for the justice part of it. Right. And that's fine. And I'm with you. But when you say the guy was, I'm telling you, I talked on the phone to the wife for the whole 45 minute drive home. And he just kept telling me, oh, they're after racial justice. I'm like, okay, what does that look like? And I got him into a corner where he couldn't say what that looked like. He just said, I don't know, because I have a white guy's perspective. I could never know. So it's whatever they say. And I'm like, wait, so whatever the mob says, that's what we're going to do. And they're winning.
Right. Right. Well, that's the thing, right? It's like you can have an idea. Like I don't, like we've mentioned before, you know, like we'll never understand. We can only empathize. We don't understand the plight, right? I never will. Like when you say institutional racism, I don't know. Maybe not, probably, but I don't know what that feels like necessarily. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, no, I don't know what it feels like, but it's so difficult to say institutional because there are people. There's a bunch of dudes in West Virginia rolling around right now who feel like they're just as put upon.
Right.
And they're in the same boat.
Right.
Right. And none of them have dark skin.
But
like, so
I still feel like if we're going to comment on it, and white people, or any person really, if someone's going to comment on it, if you feel uppity enough to comment, I feel like you get a say. No, maybe no one has to follow, you know, what you're saying, but you can at least offer, I like when you lick that bottle, you can at least offer an opinion. You know what I mean? Like
whatever saves the carpet, bro.
There you go. But like, you know, what's your idea? Like what looks right to you? What do you think is justice? Oh, I don't, you can't say no. Like you can't just go all the way there and then like not jump off the diving board.
I'm all the way with you. And then you don't have a plan. And then the plan turns into we're going to donate to Democrats,
right?
Or we're going to be full on Marxist.
Otherwise, why do we even have this conversation? What was the point? What was the point in you getting all pissed off? You know what I mean?
Well, I can even make the argument for you. Like, okay, what does institutional racism mean? Well, I mean, after the war on poverty and the war on drugs and the 13th Amendment was obviously put into place so that you could just, for no reason at all, put people in prison and call them, oh, now that you're in prison, 13th Amendment says you're technically a slave.
That just completely enshrines slavery.
Whatever. It's there in the, I mean, no one wants to talk about it except people in the liberty movement.
Well, hey, never mind the Houston area's dirty history with 13th Amendment and people working on the fucking sugar plantations down here in the early 1900s, mind you.
Yeah.
These are like ex-slaves who'd been locked back up and children of slaves who got locked up for very dubious reasons.
How do you think the levees got built down the Mississippi all the way to the Gulf of Mexico?
Exactly.
Do you think it's just like happenstance that Angola, the largest prison colony in the United States, is right there on the levee system in Louisiana?
Yep.
No.
Cheap labor. Cheap labor.
Yeah. It's bullshit.
I mean, we make jokes about people like stamping license plates and stuff like that, right? But that's easy work. You do that in the air conditioning. In the South, you fucking had to work. And you were forced to.
And I'll fully admit that like, okay, if you're a black guy and I'm a white guy and we go to the judge for the same crime, you're probably getting a harsher sentence.
Yep.
Right. And it's not that I have to admit it. It's not like I was denying it beforehand. It's that's what the statistics say.
Sure.
Right. Now, some of that, like the problem with statistics is the same shit we're talking about, the masks. It can all be manipulated. Right. So did the white guy happen to have 30 grand he could drop on a lawyer to keep him out of jail? Yeah, probably.
Probably. Yeah.
Or someone that could loan it to him.
Right.
Did the black guy? No, he took the plea deal.
Yep.
Well, what happens when you take the plea deal? Now you're going to jail. Well, what happens when you go to jail? Now you get out and you don't have any job prospects. Now you have to go into selling drugs. That's well, now you're selling drugs. You have to be violent. Now you get caught for something violent.
Yep.
Right.
It escalates every time.
It escalates every time. And that, I mean, you can almost guarantee that that's what happened to George Floyd.
Absolutely.
Right. So I'm that all that's neither here nor there, but because we got started talking about the masks, and yes, we're talking about right, what up, the state. I'm not concerned about the masks. I'm not concerned about. No, it's fine, because I think all this is kind of related, because like I said, it's all a political something or another political, and it either gins up the base of the left or gins up the base of the right, or it's leftist dunking on righties.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's really blue dunking on red. It's hard to say left versus right. Sure. You know, but I think it's all political. And the reason I wanted pause is because I wanted to go down the conspiracy rabbit hole.
Yeah, he's busy.
I know, but if you go down that rabbit hole, he's going to save it for the Gaslight Hour, at which I'm going to listen to. I can't wait. Because he and I were talking, I sent him the link last night while we were jacking around on Twitter late night, because he's always up.
That's right.
Like if I'm up late, and I often am, I can shoot Paz you up, and he's almost guaranteed to be up.
That's awesome. Yep, what you got?
So I sent him this thing about Fort Hood.
Yeah,
you saw this?
Oh, I think he's holding some of that back for our next episode.
Okay, so I sent that to him, and I think there's a lot of that going on right now. Like, what's going on behind the scenes? That, like, both parties just told Rand Paul to pack his shit and leave, mm-hmm, right? We're not out of Afghanistan. But like this, what's her name? Ghislaine.
Yes.
Last name.
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Maxwell. Yeah. Okay. People assume she's going to end up dead.
She will.
You think so?
I think the chances are good she will end up dead. Maybe.
Not
I forget if it was you or somebody else, but they made a good point. And it was that I also made a very good point.
If she was a real threat,
yeah, she'd already be dead. Was it you? Yeah. It's very true. She would have been dead before Epstein was dead if she were a real threat, because she's more dangerous than he is. So in my mind, we have one of two things here, which we can discuss more with Paz. But she was either more like his handler, which I believe is probably most likely, or she knew nothing.
No, she was involved to a level. I think she was like the 'cause, okay, so it's hard for a guy like Epstein to go to you ever hear about Gulfstream Girl?
Mm-mm. Tell me more.
So, in the aviation community, mm-hmm, there was this chick called Gulfstream Girl, and she was like 19, 20 years old, and she's sitting in a right seat of a Gulfstream.
Yeah.
With all these qualifications.
Yes.
Right.
Two big qualifications.
She's just a cute blonde chick, right?
Yeah.
Turns out she was flying for fucking Epstein back and forth to the island.
Oh.
Right. So a guy like Epstein can probably recruit a chick like that, but you need a woman to go into clubs, to go into other different places, to get other women to take leave of their senses and come to Kid Rapey Island.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't think Epstein was out there recruiting for himself. Right. And look, he was Mossad. He was whatever else, but, and look, if we're going real deep, I don't think he's dead. There you go. Yeah.
Nadia Marchenko, by the way.
Nice.
No. I think he's dead. We put that to rest on one of our episodes.
I disagree.
Me and Paz and Bird. I think he's deader than dead. He didn't know enough. He wasn't powerful enough. He was just a cog.
Maybe so.
And I think Maxwell is slightly above him.
Above him?
Like ever in, so in the slightly.
Pecking order?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the problem. Here's why I don't think that's true. Because that fits into the Q narrative.
And
I don't
clock.
Think anything that comes out of true. No. I don't think anything that comes out of Q.
It's true.
I think it's the only broken clock that it's never correct.
The second before it becomes correct, it actually turns back on and spins.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking wrong. Like, every time they think they're getting their Q revolution, whatever the fuck it is, they think they're getting
the storm is coming.
Fucking flips. It's over.
Trust the plan.
Trust the plan. Because, dude, it's, have you looked at Trump's tweets lately? That guy is over his head. He is in over his head. He doesn't know what to do.
It's so good.
They have isolated him. There's he doesn't like he's starting to like tweet Christian shit out now, like he's grasping at straws, man.
It's pretty good. He's gone full shitter tweet. What's that?
He may be fighting the Balrog, and he'll come out as Trump the White later on. Like he went in as Trump the Orange, and he's coming out as Trump the White, right? It may be all part of the Q plan, but I fucking doubt it.
I think so. I think it will be. Fucking Q-tards, man. Sorry, Will. Sorry, Will. We love you.
Fuck your masks, man. And fuck your governor and his damn wheelchaired ass. And fuck my governor for considering it. And all the, like, I'm so fucking pissed off about it. Truly. Now, let's go ahead and get negative. I'm fucking pissed off about this shit. Like, why do I have to wear a mask? If you're terrified, you stay at home.
That's right.
You stay your fucking ass at home. Why does, if I go into Joseph A. Bank to buy some shorts, like, why do I have to wear a fucking mask?
You be buying your shorts from Joseph A. Bank or what?
I did. I went and bought some shorts at Joseph A. Bank.
That sounds like some expensive ass shorts.
They had a sale going on at Jose Bank.
Well, there's always a sale at Jose Banks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there is. But J. Crew was closed. The Untuckit store was closed, which I can't wait to get me an Untuckit shirt. Those are awesome.
I'm not paying $70 for one, though.
I will.
Or whatever it costs.
Dude, I buy clothes like once every decade.
I go once a year. I gotta wear nice clothes more than you do.
Yeah, that's true. I'm t-shirt and flop shorts.
That's how you got to work, and then you're provided that.
Correct.
Yeah. So, you know, like a cop, basically.
I'm basically a cop. That's right.
That's right. You wear a funny costume when you work. With kind of like a badge almost.
Yeah. Really? They call it a badge.
Yeah. Just a horizontal one.
It's they're vertical now.
Oh, okay. There you go. Gotcha.
No, I mean, nobody takes it seriously, but it's...
I certainly don't.
Oh, man. But guess what? We have to wear masks everywhere. Everywhere.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. And
are you going in through, like, Gen Pop? Like, are you in the terminal with everybody else? But you still got to wear masks.
Oh, yeah. And look, what's crazy is... like I said, this was here since November. And like the idea that these rules just came around in May and June.
Yeah.
Like someone in legal woke up and goes, oh shit.
Yeah.
fucking make them wear masks.
Absolutely. here's one for you too, right? Like, I don't think I told you this, but all this shit's been around, right? Like we've said this, it's all been around. You know where I'm at. I've been here the whole time. It's fucking stupid. Yes, I believe there is a virus. Yes, yeah. I know that coronaviruses are a thing. The cold is one. So I worked with a girl who got laid off today, partially for this reason, who allegedly tested positive for the Rona. So I went the other day to take a test, right? And I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. So of course.
Oh, I am too. I'm Adrian Monk, man.
Yeah, like
before all
my
even
fucking
before
my
all
fucking this. Ankle hurts. I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna be in ICU. Okay, so so first I go take the test, which I don't recommend because it feels like somebody is just shoving it in your asshole raw, but it's like in your nose.
Yeah.
So gentlemen, please do your partners a favor and spit on it at least. I'm reading up a little bit, just stuff that comes across, and I think Ace
and get the right angle for fuck's sake. Jeez.
That's true. That's true. Do everybody a favor. So Ace, I'm sorry, I don't even know if you listen, but I don't know your handle off the top of my head. You know what I'm talking about, right? Ace, like Ace Archist or something like that. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Anyway, I think he had posted some screenshot from like some I don't know, CDC website or some state-run website. And it was like, you know, even though you test positive for a coronavirus, for COVID-19, it's possible that the test only tests for coronavirus. Like, not this specific strain, just not that
the coronavirus.
Yeah,
but
that you have been exposed to a coronavirus up to and including the common cold.
Right.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, or like, what the fuck are we even doing then? Like, what's this whole thing? Just on that alone, that people are, like, state agencies are admitting this, that alone is enough to just throw the whole thing out.
They're,
like, this is just
they're admitting it while they're doing shutdowns, okay?
Right.
And at the same time, like all the different jumbled up data, right? It's all confusing on purpose so that you and I can pick whatever data we like to think about, and the state can pick whatever data it likes to think about. Mm-hmm. The left can pick whatever it wants to think about. The right can pick whatever data it wants. Yep. Everybody can cherry pick, and they can all throw sources at each other. They can all disregard them, and then everyone can go and believe what they want to believe. And then the state says, nope, this is what we're doing, and this is what's happening. And I honestly think there's no other way to put it that they're agitating people through confusion.
Yeah, it's right? All part of the plan. It's
they
all
want
part
someone
of the plan.
Like me to be unstable enough to go, fuck this.
That's right. Yep.
They would love to have a guy wearing a MAGA hat show up at a rally, show up at a BLM. Yeah. Antifa
and just fucking unload
and lay waste.
Yep.
Right. They would love to have that happen. And at every turn, it seems like they side with the agitators and against the average guy. Right. And they're trying to get that average guy to go over the edge. They would have wanted nothing more than for Black Stripe Karen with her PPK and pink shirt asshole.
Oh man, she was close to letting one rip too. I ain't fucking lying, man. That booger hook was hanging all over the boom boom switch. It was bad, man.
And look, they're easy to make fun of, and it's true. But like, what do you expect? Like, they if you haven't had any formal training, or like if you just went and bought a gun and you never had a friend that took you shooting.
That's right.
You know,
and that's what that was.
Or your friend that advised you to buy a gun, you took his advice. He came over once, showed you how to put a round in the chamber, take it off a safe.
And said, see ya.
Slap a mag in. I was like, all right, cool, man. Thanks for the whiskey. See you later. Like,
we've all been there. We've been that friend.
I mean, how many people, like, this, I mean, if you're not, if you're in the liberty movement, it's probably not a surprise for you, but there's people that aren't that I've talked to, and we'll have these conversations, and it's like this, like the band, I'm the quote unquote band that I'm in.
Right.
We're playing a gig on July 4th.
Are you still playing?
Hell yeah, we are.
For now?
It's going to be awesome. No, it's going to be great. So we're playing this gig, but like the guy's house we go to, he's a Marine. Mm-hmm. And, for practice,
because you're never a former Marine,
right? But he's a former Marine. He's definitely a former Marine.
Once a Marine, always a Marine.
They'd have to put him on an elevated position because he ain't running nowhere. But give him a big old scope because he ain't going nowhere. But
you're saying he's a post player.
He has guns kind of, they don't have any kids. They got cats and shit, whatever. But he's got guns kind of sitting out. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I showed him, like, I have an XD for all you people that fucking hate XDs.
Faggot.
Are you
I'm leaving that in there too.
Are you 1911 and Glock fags out there?
Hey, you leave my hammer out of this.
But but you go to someone's house and he shows you a gun. He's like, oh, what's your everyday carry? And like, you pull it out and show it to him. Like mm-hmm. you drop the mag, you clear the chamber, you hand it to him.
There's a whole thing.
And everybody kind of checks out. You're shit house hammered. You're
right.
clear. You're clearing right. the chamber and dropping bullets on the counter, and you're like, is this mine? Wait, yeah, that's a nine.
No,
that's
you're trying nine. To okay. No, you're trying to do the flip. You're trying to be cool and drop the mag, and you go, because you're trying to throw the last round up, the one's in the pipe. You're trying to throw it up so you can catch it, but you're hammered, so you can't.
It doesn't. Yeah. It clatters to the
Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Y'all been there. But there are people that don't know what it's like to go to someone's house and right. show someone, that, like, let me see your guns. Right. And that guy probably had the one gun, and he probably had a $40,000 over and under that he goes quail hunting with that wow. he doesn't know how to use. Right? You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. that's about it. He's got her little PPK. I think that's what that was. It's what it looked like to me anyway. And then his AR with the handle and the sights, which is actually pretty hard to find. I wonder how long he's had that. If he had something better, I think he would have brought it out. But I think that's probably his only one. And then that's probably about it. He probably has a pistol in his truck.
Yeah, right? He don't even have that. He doesn't drive a truck. No? He doesn't drive a truck.
No. Oh, no, you're right. No,
we're talking about Brooks Brothers over here?
He's got an Audi.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. No, and not even like, he's got like the A8, not the S8. Because he's classy. Yeah,
he's got you know the what I mean? Big one.
He's classy. Big Audi. He's got the big one. It's like driving a 750 if you're a Beamer guy. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
But he doesn't get like the sport one. He gets like the normal one, just with the extra shit.
If he can get the L version, that's supposed to be
the 750 super, like, LI right there. That's what I'm talking about with the diesel. Right. Don't even fuck around.
The biggest, longest car you can possibly get.
Honestly, he's probably like the Lexus LS 460 guy.
Yeah. Okay. I'll buy that.
Right. 460 like, so, L. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's not carrying a pistol in that.
No. And he probably drives 6 miles to work. So his car gets like, he's got the, whatever the minimum mile lease is
that's
on
right.
that car.
That's right.
And he trades he's it in every 18,000 miles. He's always got a new one. And it always looks the fucking same.
Yep. But I bet, I'm willing to bet they had, so he's got his little AR, right? Mm-hmm. Like the fully mil spec normal stock with the handle and her little PPK plus like a 10/22, which is fine. I love a good 22.
That's fine.
And some other just random shit like that, just stuff you the gotta have shit, you know, air quotes over here.
I think he's got shit like I our bet buddy.
He's got it's a maximum 5 firearms in a fucking fat boy.
Yeah.
Probably so. You know what I mean? Or like just like a vault. He's got a fucking vault. Like he bought the door. He bought like a Liberty Gun Safe's door and installed it into a cinder block concrete filled room in the house. You know what I mean?
In his panic room. Which,
yeah, that's right.
Which,
that's right.
To be quite honest, that's where they should have been.
That's right. That's right.
Because they almost killed like 15 people.
Including like, themselves.
Each other. They're like crossing streams the whole time. Oh, Jesus.
A lot of crossing streams there.
So, no, I'm sorry. We've been all over the place to anyone.
We have been. And I'm done with number 5, by the way. Drink number 5 is down the hatch.
I'm on number 3, but I'm not drinking liquor.
Yeah. Well, I am. Like heavy pours. So this is like a Lions of Liberty version of A Race to State. This is like libertarians in living rooms drinking liquor.
Which, to be fair, is every episode of the show.
It's accurate. It's very accurate.
From at least one side of the camera. It depends
on... Yes, that's very true. Normally, you're more sober than I am. So is Mike. So what else we got? What else you want? Oh, I know what... I wanted to bring this up earlier, and I had a segue, but we talked and drank through it. The NFL's coming back, allegedly. They're talking about coming back. Well, they're talking about coming back, right? Have you seen this? But they're going to play the Black National Anthem before games.
Okay.
And a lot of our mutuals are extremely upset by this.
Oh, did you want to do the Noosey Smollett story too while we're at it?
Oh, we can absolutely do that. I hope we do. Yes. So first, okay. I want to say this to everybody, and none of you listen to this show, but all the ones that I'm actually close to, I can get you on my side if we're in person. I know this. Anyone who's this offended or like is upset by the NFL playing the Black National Anthem during the beginning of the game, which is a recent event in the last decade. First of all, we aren't a nation, which is my favorite thing in the history of the world. We're not a nation. So the whole national anthem concept is fucking bullshit, and you can all suck my dick. Second of all, who fucking cares? It's all stupid anyway. This whole thing is just, it's just, how many incantations do we have to do before the game? Like, I don't give a fuck. And then we're going to sing like God Bless America and some other bullshit. Like, I don't give a fuck. It's stupid.
Well, it's something we mentioned earlier. It's connected directly to something we mentioned earlier. Remember, just in passing, we said that Rand Paul just got like patted on his curly head and sent on his way because we're not going to end the war.
They're like,
get out of here, you weird bastard.
Yeah.
And go back to Kentucky / Texas, where we know you're really from.
That's right.
And shut up.
Like Jackson, because
we're not ending this war.
That's right.
So all of this happened. Like they always did the national anthem because it was just a thing, right? But they never did a flyover at every game until 9/11. Right? 9/11 is the big thing. That's and right. Afghanistan first, then Iraq, right? And then Iraq. And
you can't justify staying in the war. Pick one, doesn't matter, but the war, you know? You can't justify staying in it if the people aren't behind you. And how do you get the people behind the war? You constantly pump the military out in front of them. Constantly.
Well, and it's not even that.
Every sporting event.
I think people are disinterested in the war. They don't even think about the war. It's something maybe once a week. Like, when's the last time you saw a headline?
But what about the soldiers? Like,
right now they've got corona.
What about the troops?
Yeah, exactly. Hang on a second.
I'm way ahead of you. I read ahead.
Right now they've got coronavirus deaths ticking. Like you've got Jake Tapper acting like he's serious, right? Ticking along on just like they had U.S. troop deaths during Afghanistan and Iraq.
That's right.
Right? During the Bush. People forget these things, right?
Oh, it's
the same Chiron. It's the same ticker.
Fox was the worst.
It's the same bullshit, except Fox didn't have the troop death ticker, right?
I thought they did.
No, I don't think so. I thought it was just like that CNN did it to show how stupid the wars were, which, I mean.
They were right back then.
For once, they
Where'd
were right.
Where'd that go?
Except all they did was give it positive coverage in the same time that they tried to turn it against the president, right? So it was just this weird until they completely took over the military. The by military I mean the bureaucracy part of it, not the grunts, which Southern men send their children to for whatever stupid fucking reason I'll never know, you know, going forward. But we're sitting here watching this going on. You got the Black National Anthem getting played.
Why? I want to come back to that.
That's where I'm at right now. So all those things are tied in together, right? Like the only reason we made it a big deal is because of 9/11, right? The DOD pumped tons of money in advertising revenue.
Yep.
Boeing, Lockheed, Grumman. All these gigantic companies pump like. Why do I need? I'm drinking beer and watching football. I'm not gonna re-engine my B-52. Why do I need to see a fucking Boeing commercial?
Exactly.
Oh, it's because they funded this whole fucking thing.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So if Trump unilaterally would say, "Hey NFL, this is my boomer con take on this," right? If you want to just drop a fucking bomb on them, dude, pull the DOD funding from the NFL. Right now.
Yep.
Pick up a phone call. Call all the 4 stars. Fire them. Every 4-star that exists. Fire them. See you later. Click. And then I'm the 4-star. I have 6 stars. I'm gonna walk out with 6 stars and some weird crazy tassels. Right.
You're gonna go 5 stars with the single star in the middle with the epaulets and the rope under the arm. Yes,
diamond
and the all-seeing eye.
Intrigue.
That's right.
to the fucking press conference.
That's right.
With bottle rockets and everything.
And you need the Archduke. You need like the big hat with the plume on the top. That's also correct. Like,
yeah. And then I'm going to say, and riding
guess boots. What? And riding boots.
The DOD no longer funds anything for the NFL or the NBA or the MLB or any sports organizations. If y'all want to do the stand for the flag, y'all do it on your own. And let's see what you really think about this, because your own other little pet projects seem to be more important. That's so right. All these millions and millions of dollars. Oh, by the way, the tax breaks for building stadiums, that shit's gone.
Yep.
And I'll see y'all later. Hang up the phone. And that solves all those problems right away. Like that. If you're that guy, that's what you do. At this point, what do you have to lose? Why aren't you pulling that trigger? What subsidies does Nike get? Why didn't he do that? Like Nike, hey, guess what? You don't get that anymore. You still have to plant the 6,000 trees for the factory you just built.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, you can't buy carbon credits. 6,000 trees. Call me when it's done. See you later.
Click.
Like you want to live by your own fucking rules? Here it is. You don't get waivers against your own rules. Here you go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Which also still probably wearing the Nikes over here, because they're even something, even if it costs you everything.
Look, I'm not one of those people. I have Nike things. Like if I thought that way,
you're wearing it right now. I'm looking at it.
Yeah. Because LSU is Nike, but I couldn't avoid. Like you can't avoid it. Like try listening to music by only people you agree with.
I would be very unhappy.
Very unhappy. Like you can't live that way. And I don't prescribe people living that way.
Right.
I just don't think the state should be fucking big enough to where your disagreement means I have to do something I don't want to do.
Right.
That's it.
So a second ago, we're done with the NFL, right?
Sure.
Okay. So a second ago you mentioned
I nuked them.
That's right.
Pull their funding.
You turned them into glass, like if Ted Cruz were over here on this fucking podcast. So you mentioned something about those people still sending their kids off to fight in the wars that don't agree with the wars, right?
Yeah, the Southerners.
So speaking of Jesse Kelly, to tie it all back, this is where I kind of want to go with that. Even though I think, like we said, he leans the way we'd like him to lean, not a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, he said he's going to, because he's a Marine, right?
Yeah.
He mentioned he can't wait for his kid to be old enough to sign up and be a Marine. I'm leaving that pause in there. No, he's a true believer. I believe that he's a true believer.
Dude,
I don't understand it.
I would leave this country if they reinstituted a draft.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what's funny with us, because I know
you were the same way.
You were right here with me. Even just 2 years ago, we were probably like, man, those fucking draft dodgers, you know? I can't believe anybody would ever dodge the draft. But now I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I would spirit my son out of this country so fast.
Yep.
Like, I would find some distant relative somewhere in another country. Like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. There ain't no way. Yep. No fucking way. Or we would all just leave. Like, we would just you know.
Just leave.
In dark of night, we're all gone. We're crossing the border.
There's no way. There's no way I'm sacrificing my son for Skycloth.
No, absolutely not. To which you must pay appropriate fealty, or Skycloth will not freedom, and the Eagles will not cry.
Or it won't freedom.
That's right. Oh, all right. So, Nussie Smollett.
Oh, Nussie Smollett. Okay.
Oh, he's okay, pouring just, the bourbon.
Hang on. I don't know if y'all heard that. Could you hear it?
Yeah, do it again. Oh, yeah. That was good. I like it.
That's good. Michter's Small Batch, established 1753, back when there was slavery. So this is some racist ass bourbon.
Good, drink it up. Get that racism in you.
It's unbelievable, man. I
still think, dude, and you know, I think I'm more conspiratorial about this than you are. Maybe not, but this is like the op of all ops. It really is.
Oh no. You are more conspiratorial in general, but about this, I'm willing to go to the ends of the earth.
It is
to where the earth falls off of its edge for this.
That's right. Well, technically it has no edge, but it's, you know, it is flat, but there is no edge. DM me for details.
Okay. Real quick. Michter's. Hit the review. Bats. It smells very rye.
Rye. What, like 10%, 12%?
Yeah, it was a lot more barley. It was like 11 barley, 10 rye. Or
interesting.
11 rye, 10 barley, something like that. Lots of corn.
Spice?
But a lot smoother on the front and burns on the back.
Mm.
And yeah, it's good. I mean, tastes like it's a solid bourbon. I mean, for the price, it tastes like the price that I paid for it, you know, $43 or whatever, whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah. So better than my Evan is what you're saying.
God. Your Evan is what they use to pull barnacles off battleships.
But are you running through a handle a month or less or more?
No, not really. No.
Yeah. There you go. See, I am. So I'm paying $14 for it. So.
Newsy Smollett, right?
Yes, yeah. Hit you. Just hang on. I got to refill and take a piss. Really, really, really bad.
All right, Dan. I'm gonna play some music.
I didn't hear you.
I'm gonna play some music.
Yeah, I was gonna say, play us a nice little second interlude here.
Is this gonna be the longest like Justin and Matt fucking around podcast that there ever was?
Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
All right, let's see. What can I do here? I've been learning some leads lately. What's on my playlist here? I learned some Cory Morrow recently, although it's easy. I'm going to Carolina, taking that hard rough road, circle the river of Jordan, just want to see where it flows, yeah, 21 days on the road. Those Texas country songs follow that rhythm. So you got Stone of the Ruse, or at least the chord progression, it's almost backwards of that. So it's Well, how was I to know that the dust in my soul was there for a reason? Reason won't show, could be rust, might be gold. It's out of my hands, and no it show. The prize it already bears my name. Just gotta get there first before it gets claimed. I call on you when I find the time, and I promise I'll wave goodbye. I'm above the water, never think twice. Must have been a long way down, and I catch you when the next sunrise comes back around. I guess I should have told you I was stuck in my ways. Must have passed a white flag by. Matt's back with a toast. But I'm high above the water now. Look at me fly. Yeah, I'm staring at the devil standing in the roses, staring right at me. Where you wanna go, son? Take what you need, but don't wear yourself down. If you stir up trouble, you know I'll be around. But you better not call when the money's not right in the free of the fall. Right, free of the fall. No one to kiss you goodnight. Take a look around, keep yourself at home. I promise I will be just fine. High above the water, never think twice. Must have been a long way down. And I catch you in the next sunrise. Come back around. I should have told you I was stuck in my ways. Must have passed a white flag by. But I'm high above the water now. Look at me fly. Won't you look at me fly?
Ladies and gentlemen, the smooth sounds of Mr. Whiskey Pryors.
On the whiskey.
That's beautiful. Heavy on the whiskey.
Light on the whiskey. Heavy on the wine.
There you go. So, what are we doing here?
Noosey
Smollett. All right, what we got? Tell me about this PSYOP they got going on here.
Well, it's just another one of those. So there's a meme going around, and it's the, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Let's see. It's the big capitalist pig in the first frame, and it's the Antifa guy screaming at him. It says fuck capitalism, and then in the bottom frame, it's the same basic pig guy, capitalist pig guy, right?
Yeah.
Except he has rainbows and BLM all over his stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And the BLM guy is
mouth agape.
I don't even think it's BLM. I say BLM just because that's like the topic of the day. I think it's more Antifa, right? BLM is, you know,
just some dude in Black Bloc.
Well, it's Black Bloc, but it's also very much, it's also like the red and black ANCOM flag. On his mask.
Yep.
And like the mask drops, and it's the ANCOM mask drops, and he's like amazed because all of a sudden the evil capitalist pig is doing what he wants. So
that's right.
It's all fine.
That's what they're going for.
And I think that's what we're seeing. And what really sucks is like you see. NASCAR could have took a stand, and they could have promoted him, Bubba Wallace, right?
Yeah, I always want to say Watson. Different sport.
I did. Yeah, correct. Yeah, they could have promoted Bubba Wallace in a totally like different way. They could have just had him do a speech and say at the same time, like, "Hey, I'm an American. I think we're all Americans. We need to all come together on this and end police brutality," right?
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, start your engines, right? And then they give him a special dispensation to start his engine at a different time.
Yeah.
Right? And it would have been fantastic. They could have done it, and their entire fan base would have been all for it. It would have been great, right? Instead, what they did was they ran with the narrative of their enemies, and they said, yes, our fan base are a bunch of racist retards.
Right.
And we're going to say that out loud.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to shame our entire fan base, right? And then and we're going to raise this person up on a completely fake fucking story. That how the hell do you think you could get away with that? Like, if I'm gonna fake that, like, at least like have some dude running in a Klan hood in the middle of the night with a noose, drop it off on the dude's car and run out. And even if it's cartoonish,
hang it, hang it from the fucking rear view.
I mean, Jesus.
I know they don't have rear views in the fucking NASCARs.
Right.
Look, I'm white. I know these things, okay?
I know NASCAR specs, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Exactly. Let me tell you a little about restrictor plate racing, okay? You watch NASCAR? Not really, but...
There's only one or two pushrod V8s left in this world, really.
Okay. But you're right. So the powers that be, you know...
But just shit on their own base because right. they think their base is going to bend over and take it and keep watching. And yeah. I hope they don't. I hope they abandon them en masse.
I think right? it's going to be a problem here in the next coming months. It's not going to be pretty, man. People are fucking pissed off about this shit. And it's not even that, like, not for the same reason. They just see it as like, oh, well, it was like a hoax and they're like, it's a thing. Like, you and I, looks delicious. You and I see it as the fucking psyop that it is. Like, this is a controlled operation by someone. Like, this thing got put together, and now, like, I don't even think that Bubba was a part of it to begin
with. No, he wasn't. He wasn't. The reason he couldn't see the noose is because he would have been like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's right. That's right. And he would have been like, I'm not signing off on that. When it fucking hit, like, the Twitter, like, fucking trending thing, when they're, like, pushing him to the front, like, the other drivers are pushing his car to the front of the line, and you and I both start, like, immediately texting each other, like, are you fucking seeing this shit? This is bullshit. There's an op happening right now in front of our eyes. We're watching it happen. Like,
but it turns out it was like the most clumsily, poorly run op that, like, ever.
It's so bad. It's perfect for NASCAR fans, actually.
Well, they thought so.
Yeah,
they thought so. But like, but now you have NASCAR fans understanding that the organization is only there to milk them of their dollars, mm-hmm. and I hope that they see that and they don't go, well, bring it back to the Winston Cup and we'll take it all back, you know, yeah, or whatever yeah. whatever stupid platitude they need to get back on board.
They ought to have the Aunt Jemima Cup. I'm just saying.
Jesus Christ, man!
And then for the truck series, they can do the Uncle Ben Cup. Is that fine, or is that still like way too racist?
Is that biscuits?
No, that's rice, son.
Oh, rice. Which one's the biscuits?
What's the
red bag of frozen biscuits? Well,
honestly, so like this is a completely different race, but I call them Watt biscuits. You're a Justin Wilson fan, right? Yeah. You know why you call them Watt biscuits? Because what happens when Mama gets them out the fridge? What you got to do? You gotta rip the corner off and you go whap on the side of the counter to pop it open. That's Watt biscuits, dude.
Y'all, for those of you who cannot see Maddie's screen.
I lost my whole shit over here. All my shit fell down.
He whopped his whole microphone set up and fucking fell over.
My fucking boom arm's done falling down. I'm drunk, y'all. Welcome to A Race to State.
Welcome to A Race to State. Listen, I think we've decided that it's almost never going to be erased.
Like, no, never. Not even a little bit.
Like, just this poorly run op right here, and the fact that there are people that are still standing on the other side going, oh no, it was real. Like,
that's the worst part. It's like, how can you see what happened? And like, look, I get if you're Bubba Wallace, I understand how you want to be like, okay, this is my time, right? Because no one knows who the fuck you are unless you're like one of the 100. Huh?
He wasn't. I don't think he was driving with like a Penske team. He wasn't even like a top tier racer.
That's what I mean. So, unless you're like one of the 100,000 people who like know who the fuck he is, like you don't know. Like he's not fucking Steph Curry. You know what I mean? Like no one knows who the fuck he is. He's just some other light skinned black dude in a sport. If you want to call car racing, stock car racing, a sport, which I don't. It's a competition. Whatever.
I look at the other chance. Way, man.
Huh?
I look at it the other way. I think this was his chance to come out and say, once he figured out this was real, he should have avoided any cameras this whole time.
Absolutely.
He should have run his race and like not even done anything, put his Black Lives Matter sticker on his car, run your race, right? You know what I mean? Like just don't say anything because because it happened too close to the race for anyone to figure out any truth. And then, of course, during the race or right after the race, they found out it was all bullshit.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. And he doubled down on it after that.
With Don Lemon, of all fucking people.
Exactly.
What do I say about him? He's a sweetie that wants to pretend to be a sweetie. No, he's a sweetie that wants to pretend to be a streetie. There you go.
You're saying he code switches worse than I do.
He's a sweetie pretending to be a streetie.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
He's a he's from Baton Rouge, of all places.
Are you serious?
That? Yeah, Don Lemon's from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
What part?
I had a beer next to him one time. I was in the Atlanta airport. It's when he was filling in for the Joy Behar show on MSNBC.
I bet he was filling in, if you know what I mean.
And he had this bag. And I have a friend of mine that's in media, and there's certain signs of it, right? Yeah. And he was like way too clean cut and like way too pretty to be a normal.
It's like when you see a cop. Person.
Well, yeah, exactly. And plus, I'm in Atlanta, and I'm like, okay, CNN's here.
Yep.
So, you know what I mean? So I'm literally sitting next to him, rubbing elbows with him. I'm like, are you in media? And he's like, oh, shit. And he's like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, buddy of mine, whatever. And it didn't register. And like 2 days later, I saw him filling in for Joy Behar. And like 3 weeks later, he had his own show.
This
like
is before he was who he is.
Oh, and this is back when I was total BoomerCon, and I was probably dropping shit like fucking stupid libtards and shit while I was hammered at the airport.
You were the people that you hate now.
which makes me feel better because he was very uncomfortable, and I'd like to make him feel uncomfortable.
Good.
just because he's a shit, not because he's of any minority. Regardless, which pick one? What minority of his would you like to be? I don't care. I think he's just a shit.
He's terrible anyway. He's a shitbag.
So I think about it the other way with Bubba Wallace. If Bubba Wallace had turned around when the truth came out about this thing and said, "This is ridiculous. People are trying to divide us." I don't think NASCAR fans are a large group of racists. I think we can all be united in this. I think he would probably be the most celebrated driver.
Yeah, he would be the hero of that weekend. If he comes out and says, "No, I know NASCAR fans, right, and NASCAR fans aren't racist. I love my fans."
Right.
Right?
He'd have record crowds right now. And he'd have more endorsements than you could possibly imagine.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Instead, now he has to rely on the woke fear of whatever massive corporation is going to keep him in a car for as long as possible. Mm-hmm. And at the end of this, NASCAR, despite what they say, is going to figure out a way to funnel him out of the sport one way or another.
He'll be driving trucks in a couple of years.
Yeah. Whatever the Bush League is now.
Or back to carts or whatever it is, you know, he'll be below Bush. He'll be back in trucks. Or somewhere else. Like it's just he's not gonna be in the top tier. It's almost like, which it happened for a different reason. But he'll be like Kaepernick, right? Like, was Kaepernick wrong? No, his message was clean. You know, kneeling. He didn't say anything, right? It was just I'm taking a knee, and he wasn't even the first one to do it. He started from somebody else. He had a message. He was doing one certain thing, but he made himself a liability. So once he got cut, there ain't no way he's getting back in. That was the thing. Like, yeah, was he had a shitty season. He lost his job. Once he made that statement like that and put himself out there and made himself the face of this movement, like Bubba Wallace is trying to do or tried to do during that weekend.
Sure.
That's it. He was done. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, why, as an owner, why would you bring that back in? You don't want that negative attention.
Well, and at the time, it was just strictly a money thing. Like,
that's right. That's right.
Like, hey, we're taking money from the DOD. You can't kneel with the damn flag.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's crazy here is we've got two versions of statists slamming their heads together. And you and I are looking at it and going, both of you are stupid.
Yeah. Everyone here is fucking retarded.
Kaepernick is right. There's no reason for my tax dollars to pay for the F-16 to fly over this goddamn stadium.
That's right.
Right? Why are we even doing this?
We're yelling on the sidelines going, I don't like any of this. I don't like any of it.
And I'm okay with Kaepernick kneeling. That's fine. I'm fine
with it too.
My thing was, again, find a good PR person, use the millions that you've accumulated being an NFL quarterback, mm-hmm. and figure out, hey, who should I donate $1.5 million to?
Like, that's right.
Can I start my own foundation?
And he did do some of that, but his PR was shit. It was the problem.
He didn't do that initially.
Not initially. You're right. But he did donate, but his PR was shit.
Yeah. You found the most empowered group of black men on the planet.
That's right.
Or at least in our countries, which means typically on the planet, unless you want to be like a dictator somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they did was symbolic gestures. Had they all gotten together and they all said, I'm going to donate $1 million or I'm going to donate 14% we're 13% of the population. We're going to donate 13% of our salaries and I guarantee you the whites would have joined them in the league, right?
Absolutely.
We're going to donate 13% of our salaries to ending police violence, right? To ending the war on drugs. That would have been the most powerful message they possibly could have done, and they didn't do it. Because all they believed in was this is my money. I'm going to do my thing. And I'm going to try to make a statement and piss people off.
Yeah.
Right. And they either they didn't think it all the way through, or he's probably sincere. You know,
I think he was. A lot of the ones that followed him were not. They were kind of glomming on to what he was doing. Look, at the end of the day, if anybody out there is listening from the NFL who wants to protest and you need some help doing this, just call them Maddie and Justin PR firm, and we will help you for a small percentage find a good message for your money.
Yeah, an even smaller percentage than the Susan G. Komen for the Cure gives to their fucking administration.
That's by right. The way. We're curing cancer and killing babies. Don't they do that shit too?
Yeah.
That sigh means yes.
Well, it's the same as the you see somebody with a Wounded Warrior Project shirt,
the fucking
Wounded Warrior Project, like 1.5% goes to Wounded Warriors, the rest goes to like Gulfstream jet parties.
That's right.
It's like
even, and they were like anti-gun for like 6 months right there, until they got found out and they had to fix it.
It's ridiculous.
Well, and also, I mean, speaking of NFL, I wanted to go here, but I had too many drinks and I forgot.
This is going to be the longest episode of the podcast ever. This is going to be so
much fun. You're correct. That's fine. It's a swap cast. It's a swap cast with...
All right. With nothing. Without...
No, it's a swap cast with the Jerk Circle.
With the Jerk... Well, this is the Jerk Circle.
Maybe the Hard R.
The Hard R.
We're debuting the Hard R right here on the swap cast before the Jerk Circle even comes out.
All of the R's in the Jerk Circle are going to be gigantic capital R's.
But no, it's so with any sport, pick a sport where they stretch a flag across the field, right? I'll take football because they cover 100 yards inline to inline with a flag, right? And mm-hmm. they're patriotic and we're singing the anthem and we're all this bullshit and there's planes flying over because fuck those brown people across the globe. You know, in the flag code, even though it's disrespectful to not stand at attention to the flag, it's written in the flag code what you should not do. One of those things which you should not do, the flag should not be displayed flat, horizontal, the way that it is at a football game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So everybody...
Even if you're waving it?
No, it's anti-flag code. So anybody who is downing some athlete for kneeling and not standing at attention, but you're up there like saluting or putting your hand over the heart or the hat over the heart to the flag displayed in an improper fashion, you can go fuck yourself because you're a hypocrite. There you go. Suck on that shit.
I don't know, man. I had a bunch of...
And that's all I got to say about that.
So Louisiana people are different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well... Understatement of the century.
Yeah.
Understatement of the last three centuries.
in Tiger, yeah, well, since Baton Rouge is 314 years old, something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I know that number. It's probably 320 by now, I'm guessing.
Sounds about right.
I went to the 300 celebration whenever I was in
the tricentennial.
Yeah. Anyway, so you go to an LSU game, right? And they do the whole thing. The flyover happens.
Yep. Yep.
And they say,
Death Valley, baby.
The land of the free and the home of the Tigers, right?
Oh, everybody, no.
And the whole stadium screams, Tigers. Well, for a while there, the Tigers was like muted. And we'd get like these ugly stares from people. And then,
really,
you know, we ended up sitting in the same seats a lot. And I knew who those people were. And I'd go, Tigers, like just as loud as I can because I'm hammered when I walk into the stadium.
and then the very next song that follows that is, oh.
I can get my trumpet out and play that one.
All right.
Hang on. I have that somewhere.
Suck that tiger dick, bitch.
Here it is. I played it the other day. Here we go.
Oh, shit.
Suck that tiger dick, bitch.
You know, it's so good that Lamar, I forget who he played, but it was a big win for us. After the game, it was posted like all over Twitter, Facebook. The band started playing Neck and they were screaming, suck that Cardinal dick, bitch. It was so good.
So U of H plays I got to
put a hashtag that STCDB. It was so good. I was so happy. I felt like a tiger for a day.
Now you know how good that shit feels, man. Mm-hmm.
So good, dude.
Even if you're losing and they play that song,
that's right. That's right. That's right.
All right, dude, we have to end this or we're just going to go on bullshitting forever.
We're out. Do you want to play us out? Do you want me to play us out? What are we doing here?
What you got in mind?
I don't know. What do you have in mind?
All I've been playing is my damn set list for the
dude.
I've
had too many at this point. So if I play anything, I'm playing Hayes Car or I'm playing Old Crow Medicine Show, one or the other.
Dude, Wagon Wheel is the modern day Wonderwall.
I know. So anyway, here's Wagon Wheel. But it's the one song that all the kids will sing, so I play it all the time.
Yes, that's correct. Let's see. Let me see what I have on my set list here that might work. Already played you Blue on Black.
Yeah.
I'll try this one out.
You got a little Third Eye Blind on there?
I wish you would step back on that bitch, my friend. No, I don't
understand.
You gonna play the? You gonna do the?
I'll do the harmony. I'll do the background vocals. Oh yes. Do you know? Okay, so that's that. The band name 7 Mary 3. Do you know where that comes from? That was the call sign on Chips.
Was it really?
Fuck yes.
Max, I guess the stones are coming too fast for now. You know I'd like to believe this nervousness will pass. All the stones that are thrown are building up a wall. Peace out. I can't hear myself.
Serious now.
I have become cumbersome to my girl. Resurrect those bridges with an ancient plans. But my old stone face can't seem to break her down. She remembers bridges burns to the ground. I am become cumbersome to this world. Lots of bass, which would normally. There is a balance between two worlds. One with an air and a cross. Regardless of the balance, life has become cumbersome. Too heavy, too light, too black or too white, too wrong or too right, today or tonight. Cumbersome. Too rich or too poor, she's wanting me less and I want no more. The bitter taste is cumbersome.
Very nice. All right. Is that it? Are we good? We're out? We're out of here?
Yeah, we're out. We should. I'm getting texts. Good. That means I should go.
Time to wash somebody else's butthole. On that note.
No denial here.
Y'all know what to do. Like, share, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your dog. Tell your fucking
masked up neighbor.
Yeah. Open Bob's.
And don't go to your neighbor's house if they demand you wear a fucking mask.
We'll see y'all next
week.
Tell
him to shove his mask up his fucking ass, please. Thank you.
We'll see y'all next week. Peace.